If you've ever driven to Beverly Hills or Hollywood or any place where there are movie theaters, you might have ran into these billboards with superheroes or sometimes big statues. And when I think about the celebration that we celebrate today, it led me to thinking about our obsession with superheroes. And I think for many decades, we have found comfort and even sometimes in hope in these superheroes, whether it's Iron Man or Spider-Man or Batman, who's trying to keep it together in Gotham City, or Superman. And someone told me right now there is Supergirl as well. Somehow in the last couple of years, they have morphed into something that somehow fits the social need of our time. Like, for example, we see Batman as the ultimate policeman. If you're doing anything wrong, you better watch out, because Batman is going to be there to take care of business. Now, Superman, he's the ultimate fireman. He's there to help and save people. He's not going to judge you. He's not pushing any agenda. He doesn't care what you've done in the past. He doesn't care who you are or your ethnic background. If you're in trouble, Superman will be there to help you and save you. But then it got me to thinking, what about spiritual superheroes, right? Batman and Superman, these are the king and Supergirl. These are the kings and queens at the box office, and they earn millions and millions of dollars. But we hardly hear about the spiritual superheroes that are actually real people. And these are the people that actually live real lives, and they're actually the model to our Christian life. They're what we call saints. And that's the meaning of our celebration as we celebrate the Feast of All Saints. Now, I think, especially in our society, when you hear the word saint, it's almost kind of daunting, like, oh, yeah, saint, that's too far out there. Like, who can do that, right? As if it were only for a select few spiritual heroes, as opposed to our call to our Christian life. All of us, by virtue of our baptism. When I was 9 years old, I met this young religious brother by the name of Brother Reggie, who was studying to be a priest. And he would take me and my brothers to their home, where he lived with other priests and seminarians. And I remember very clearly on Saturdays, he would talk to me about the lives of saints. And as a young child, I was very fascinated, especially those young kids that dedicated their lives completely to Christ. Two of my favorites were St. Dominic Savio, St. Dominic who died when he was only 15 and became a saint, and also the other one, St. Maria Goretti. And I was a typical rambunctious kid, but for some reason, deep in my heart, I really found it fascinating that these people, these young kids, lived out their Christian life. And then one day, on a Saturday, this young brother, Brother Reggie, looked me in the eye and he said, "You know, Francis," and I was only 9, he said, "God is calling you to be a saint." And I was like, wow. And I believed him. You know, our call to our Christian life is a call to sainthood. To borrow from Bishop Barron, who's now the bishop, auxiliary bishop in Santa Barbara, he says, you want to think of it this way. If you make it to heaven, everyone in heaven will be a saint. So if you're in heaven, then that means you're a saint. So everything else should flow from this understanding that everything we do should lead us closer to God so that one day we will be united with our Creator. There was a French novelist by the name of Léon Blois who once said that the only real sad thing in life is to not be a saint. Well, what does that mean? It implies this. Everything that we place a high premium on, security, vacation, right, houses, cars, pleasure, all these things will not matter in the end if they don't lead us to sanctity. So in other words, they won't matter because in the end what really matters is our call to become the holy, healthy people that God created us to be. So now it raises the question. We know what it takes to be a superhero, because it's make-believe. if you're Superman, you know, you need X-ray vision, all kinds of extra powers. If you're Batman, you need that special car and all these gadgets that he uses. But what does it mean to be a saint? What do all these people that we celebrate today have in common? To be a saint means to be holy. You've probably heard that. You're probably like, wow, great. Okay, I've heard that before. To be holy means to do God's will and to be obedient to God's will. God's will is the will to love. And to love is to will the good of the other person. So to be a saint is to will the good of the other person. It is for that reason sometimes when I talk to couples, and you know, when they do things that they're not supposed to, when you really love someone, it doesn't matter if you get pleasure. When you know that it's not good for that person and for yourself, true love is saying, well, I don't want to do it, because even though I may feel pleasure from this, it's not the right thing to do. And so that's what, in a nutshell, what holiness is. And I think the readings do a good job of this. In the first reading from the book of Revelation, it talks about this God's plan for humanity, but it was disrupted because of man's disobedience. And so then there's this book, and it's sealed with seven seals, and no one can open it. And then an angel cries out, you know, you can imagine the scene, who can open the book? And then the Lamb, if you go back to the book of Revelation, enters. The Lamb who was slain, who had no sin, and that's our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ sacrificed himself and basically was completely, radically obedient to God's will, that he was, through his sacrifice, order was restored and God's reign was restored over humanity. It is through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that he transformed the world with the love of God. And we are called to do the same. Some of you have approached me, and those of you that are really serious in your spiritual journey have asked me, what else can I do to deepen my spiritual faith, my faith in God, my relationship with Jesus? Well, I will tell you this, as I've told some of you, the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, is a great place to start. Because the Beatitude outlines those virtues or those things by which we can gauge our spiritual journey and our spiritual growth. So my suggestion to those of you, if not all of you, is to study it, learn it, and apply it in your life. It's not easy, but we never do it alone. We have our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so Jesus goes into a little bit of what will it make or it takes to be a saint. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. He's basically saying whether you're rich or poor or somewhere in between financially, that God should always come first and not money. And then he goes on to say, I'm not going to go through to all the Beatitudes, but in one of the Beatitudes, he says, blessed are the clean of heart. What does it mean to have a clean of heart? It's the same thing as saying, blessed are the pure of heart. To have a clean heart is to desire one thing. We all know that we desire different things. Some things that we desire are disordered. Some that are not good for us, but we want it. There are things that we desire that are at odds, even with the gospel values. But yet Jesus is saying, if you're clean of heart, your heart will be so united and you will only desire that which is good, which is to do God's will. And that's actually very hard. And then he also says, blessed are you those who seek and hunger and thirst for righteousness. Well, we hunger for different things. Some of us hunger for money. Some of us hunger for relationships. Some of us even get clingy with other people and we want to control them. So we hunger for control and power. But Jesus is saying, blessed are you. Blessed means that you're truly only happy when you seek that which is right. So here's my suggestion. When you go through the day, right, what do you find yourself asking? If you go through the day, do you ask yourself, what is the right thing to do? See, for most people, what they ask is, what's in it for me? Why should I help you out? What are you going to do for me? How is it going to be advantageous for me? But once you get into your life where you say, what is the right thing to do for me? That means that you're thirsting and hungering for righteousness. And when you thirst and hunger for righteousness, then you will naturally be a peacemaker. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. If you've ever been around people that are peacemakers, they have that sense of calmness and peace. Even when things are going chaotic around them, right? There's just that peace. They're not troubled. They're not going, hey, what's wrong? There's just that peace in their heart. And that's why people sometimes say, you know, I could almost see a halo around you. That halo exemplifies that light that we are all attracted to. So when you are seeking and hungering righteousness and thirsting for that, you become a peacemaker. And Jesus says, you know what? Then that means that you will be called a child of God. And then he ends, which is amazing. He says, blessed are you when people persecute you and insult you. That's kind of weird. Like, really? Why would I be blessed? Right? We live in a society. This is really contrary. He's saying, you are only truly happy when you embrace the cross. Why does he say this? Because everyone wants power. People in ministry in the church, they want power. People in church positions, they want power and honor. People want that. When they're put down, it's like, no, do you know who I am? Do you know who you're talking to? But Jesus is saying, no, that's really not the way to get to the kingdom of God. Look at Jesus, the Son of God. He was spit upon, they kicked him, do all kinds of things. Notice how meek and humble Jesus was. So it raises this question for us, right? See, the saints that we celebrate today, these are the real people that sacrifice their lives. These are the real people that use their white robes to be washed in the blood of the Lamb that was talked about in Revelation. And these are people that are not plastic or plaster statues that you would find in Hollywood, like Superman or Batman or Iron Man. And don't get me wrong, I've watched all of these shows, and there's nothing wrong with good, wholesome entertainment. But the people that we celebrate today are real people that live real lives. They are priests and nuns like St. Dominic or St. Catherine of Siena. They're married and single like St. Thomas More, right, or St. Rose of Lima. They're young and old like St. Teresa of Avila or St. Maria Goretti. They're rich like St. Thomas Becket, or middle class like St. Ignatius of Loyola, or poor like St. Martin de Porres. Right, they're super geniuses like St. Thomas Aquinas, or just simple intelligence but vast wisdom like St. John Vianney. But still, these are real people that show us what we are called to do in our Christian discipleship. I know that there will always be fascination with superheroes. There's just a show that came back called Heroes Reborn. Right? And we're fascinated by that because somehow we had found seek and comfort. And yet all of us today are asked that question. One day when the judgment day comes, the question that I want to ask you is, will you be one of those people counted as the saints that will be with God? Will you stand in your life right now on earth to proclaim God's love no matter how hard it is? And I'll end by quoting that famous French novelist, Léon Blois. He says, there's only one real sadness in life, and that is to not be a saint. My prayer for all of you is that you don't miss out on that opportunity, that may you find the courage in your life to really live out your baptismal call to be that holy, healthy, and saintly person that God created you to be. Amen?